Hello, my name is Paul Newman and I'm the pastor of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Welcome to this Good Friday podcast. On the last three Sundays during the current health crisis, we've put out three podcasts that are not intended to replace worship. Nothing can quite take the place of our meeting together to express our adoration of the three in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Rather, these podcasts can serve as a stimulus to remember that call to worship, and in so doing keep us all focused on the same theme at more or less the same time. This podcast is a little different. It's not for a Sunday, but for Good Friday. And it's not so much about sharing a message, but retelling the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus and helping us to consider its significance for us. We're going to read through much of chapters 14 and 15 of Mark's Gospel using the New International Version of the Bible. And if you're following in your own Bible, then when we begin, we'll start at chapter 14, verse 12. I'm very grateful to Helen Amos, Joe Harris and Stuart Grant for reading these passages. I will add items between the readings that will include prayers, an invitation to silence, so be ready to press the pause button, and other items. In the email that came with the link to this podcast, you will find some suggested songs on YouTube with an indication of the places where you may wish to pause and listen to them, or even insert your own choices. If you have come to the podcast via the WBBC website, then you should find a note there of the order including these songs. Most importantly, perhaps, you will be invited to participate in receiving bread and wine to recall the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples. This will come early in the podcast, so you may wish to make sure that you have those things at hand now. And remember, you only need a small piece of bread and a sip of red wine or red juice to drink. So let us now pause in silence for a few moments before we begin. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have done so much for us, giving us a world rich in wonder and filling our lives with so much that is special. But above all, today we come to thank you for your most precious gift of all, the great love you have shown to us in Christ. In him, you came and lived among us, fully part of our world. Through him you revealed your grace, your mercy, your will, your kingdom. By him you identified yourself with the sin and suffering of the world, opening the way through his death and resurrection to forgiveness and eternal life. Gracious God, you have given to us without counting the cost. Not just a little, but all. Receive our thanks. You emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant, sacrificing your only Son for our sakes. Receive our thanks. And the wonder is, you ask so little in return. You make no extortionate demands. You set no stringent conditions to your love. You ask simply that we love you in return. Receive our thanks. Gracious God, teach us to offer you our willing and joyful discipleship and to play our part in working for your kingdom. Receive our thanks. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dipped bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
We are each of us aware of how far we fail to be Christ-like. Therefore, let us make this prayer of confession. Forgive us, Father, for all the times we label others, forgetting each one is made and loved by you. Forgive us, Jesus, for the little choices that blind us to the pain we cause others to suffer. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for silent collusion with systems that deny justice and human need and serve politics or convenience first. Living God, forgive our inhumanity, the denial of your image set within us. Pour your grace on this, our sorrow, that we may find the courage to change and honour your love for us. Amen. Jesus treats the bread and wine set before him in the same way. He takes the bread, he takes the wine, he gives thanks for them. Then he breaks the bread and pours out the wine. And then he shares them both. The same Lord Jesus calls us to understand he is with each of us today, if we love him and seek to serve him. He gives us the bread and wine so we can recognize that his body was killed and his life poured out on Calvary's cross, so that we might know him at this time and in that place where you are. We may be doing this alone, but we are together in our Saviour. The bread and wine, once consumed, will be in you, bringing to remembrance that Christ the Saviour is in you by the Holy Spirit and will never depart. So I invite you now to take the bread and break it, so that all present will be able to receive a piece if they wish. Please repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, as your body was broken on the cross, but rose again to everlasting life, so I trust you to make me whole. Amen. Now take and eat the bread. Then please repeat these words. Lord Jesus Christ, your blood was poured out as you surrendered your life for all whom you love. So I trust you to give me life. Amen. Now take the cup and drink from it. And then repeat these words line by line. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor any virus, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but...
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man, wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind.
So let us now take time to pray. First, a prayer from Tearfund, and then please press pause to continue for 2 minutes in silent prayer. God of love and light, in this time of fear, give us your peace. In this time of isolation, give us your presence. In this time of sickness, give us your healing. In this time of uncertainty, give us your wisdom. In this time of darkness, shine your light upon us all. In Jesus' name, Amen. So we pray in silence for 2 minutes.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they could not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.' Yet even their testimony did not agree." Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophecy!" And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around them, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept.
Peter denied even knowing Jesus when it came to it. The whole of history knows it. But the good news of what Jesus does on this day is that just as the Lord came to Peter after his resurrection to recommission him, so he will always forgive and recommission those who turn to him, humbly aware of their failings and need of him. In the early 1970s, the Salvation Army's head of music publishing, Ray Steadman Allen, wrote a piece based on an old hymn by Isaac Watts. These are the words that came to mind as I was reading that story of Peter's denial again. "Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Did he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for sins that I have done he suffered on the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Dear Saviour, I can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Remember me, remember me. Remember, Lord, thy dying groans. And then remember me." If you wish, you can listen to that on the suggested YouTube link at this point.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and the teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people had requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowds came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read,
the King of the Jews. They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." An extract from The Visit by Adrian Plass. Suppose you and I have known each other for years. You often visit my house. In fact, I've given you a key so that you can come and go as you please. Now, over the years, you've regularly stolen things from my home, some big, some small, some so trivial as to seem quite unimportant. I've never been to your house, you've never invited me, but one day you're sitting at home when there's a knock on the door. It's me, and I've come to have a showdown with you. Once inside, I start to gather together all the things that belong to me and stack them together in the middle of the room right in front of you. Right through the house I go, opening cupboards, ransacking drawers, reaching under beds, and soon every little thing that you've ever pinched from me is piled on the floor between us. Finally, I reach over and take the biro from your top pocket and add it to the pile, despite your protests that it was borrowed and doesn't really count. So there we stand by this mountain of stolen goods, and you're pretty troubled by now. What will I do? Police? Hit you? Perhaps. Did you steal all this stuff? There's no point in denying it. Yes, you mumble. I'm sorry. What are you going to do? Oh, forgive you. I just wanted you to know that I knew. Now we can start again. Jesus looked searchingly at the faces ranged around the room, then spoke very softly. "And I know all about each one of you too. I know what you've done, what you want, what hurts you, what you're afraid of. I know what you need. I know you because, in a way that's impossible to explain, I almost became each of you during the 3 hours that I spent dying all those years ago on that hill. You happened in me. You were punished in my body. The time I spent on that cross was a nightmare of congealed darkness and despair, a nightmare filled with selfishness, hate, murder, rape, and filth of the most unbelievable kind, as well as apathy, ignorance, and all your trivial unkindnesses that never seemed to matter at the time. In those 3 hours, I knew what it was to be an addict and a pusher, a torturer and a victim. How it felt to destroy and hurt and damage and gloat over the agony of others. Oh, I knew it. I saw it. I felt it. And in the middle of it all, I lost the one I was doing it for. He couldn't bear to look at me. And I was so, so alone.
Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid.
Crucified Christ, Son of the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, we adore you. Crucified Christ, bearing contempt, forgiving your enemies, remaining always true, we adore you. Crucified Christ, treasure house of wisdom, champion of justice, fount of love, we adore you. Crucified Christ, faithful to the end, gatekeeper of paradise, eternal friend, we adore you. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.